Chof Dalet Sivan, Sunday the 2nd of June, Rabbi David Kahn. Agency fees, honesty and transparency. This week's Torah Away has been sponsored by L'il Nishmas Rav Zev Ben Rav Dov, Zichrono Livracha, Dr. W. Littlestone, on his first Yahrzeit.
Good morning, Birshus. Agency, honesty and transparency. I suppose it sounds the right direction that we want to move in. The best way to describe this, questions that come up in business, very interesting, questions that come up as far as honesty, what's the right way to behave, is to relate to you a Beis Din case, a real case, where I wasn't sitting on the Beis Din, but I was sitting in and listening to the case. And as I sat and listened to it, and I said to myself, you know, this has happened to me too. What's the case? Listen to this. This was a rare scenario where you had one defendant and two claimants for the same sum of money. What was the case? Reuven wants to sell had sold his apartments. He'd sold his apartments and he'd sold it for 1.4 million. 1.4 million. Never mind which currency, never mind which place it was. But he sold it for 1.4 million. Nowadays it could be almost anywhere. And that was fine. He was perfectly happy. He sold it through an agent. And everything was fine. Until the vendor met the purchaser. And they got talking. And they got talking and it transpired that the purchaser had paid 1.45 million for the property. So at that point, all broke loose and there was an immediate claim. Hey, what was going on here? The agent, it was sold via an agent. The agent had clearly received 1.45, had passed on 1.4. What did the contract say? 1.4. What's going on? So here's this Din Torah, aware this was where 50,000 was being claimed by both the vendor and the purchaser. The vendor said, hey, one second, you obviously sold it for 1.45 on my behalf, and if so, 50,000 belongs to me. You didn't pass it on. What's going on? The purchaser says, wait a minute, I paid 1.45, and if all that was passed on was 1.4, so then the 50,000 belongs to me. But, so what does the agent say? Well, the agent says, look, it's quite simple. In fact, the Dayanim say, wait a minute, if you paid, dear purchaser, you paid 1.45, why were you happy to sign a contract which says 1.4? So he says, I'm sure you can guess the next bit of it. I was told that the vendor would only sell it if he was paid 50,000 in cash. 50,000 in cash, and that was it. Of course, the vendor knew nothing about this cash. He knew about the 1.4 in the contract. And 50,000 was swallowed by the agent as an agency fee. So the agent turns around, we ask the basin and says, well, what's your story? He says, look, I'll tell you what the story was. Very simple, he says. They can both claim the 50,000 until kingdom come. But the 50,000 belongs to me. Why does it belong to me? He says, very simple, he says. The vendor couldn't sell his property. Why couldn't he sell his property? Because there were illegalities in the way it had been added onto, in the way that it had been constructed, and it couldn't be sold as it was. The vendor came to me desperate that he was paying a fortune in a bridging loan, for a bridging loan, and he said to me, look, I don't care how much you get for this property. If you sell it, as far as I'm concerned, if I get 1.4, I'm happy. I don't mind. I get 1.4. Says the agent, I had to run along, I had to sort out the legalities, I had to deal with the building regulations, with the council, with the this, with the that, and with the other. And until I finally got it sorted out, and then I had to sell it. So yes, I tried my best, and I could have only sold it for 1.41. I could have only sold it for 1.4. That was the deal. The deal was everything over 1.4, that was mine. The vendor says, sheker v'chozov, no such thing. The purchaser says, I don't know what's going on here. You, Mr. Agent, you didn't present yourself to me as an agent. You presented yourself to me as a family friend, a family friend of the vendor. He was looking to sell, and therefore I handed over the money to you, the 50,000 that was going to go over to the vendor. I signed the contract for 1.4, and since the vendor was happy with 1.4, you're the gammuff. Can I have my 50,000 back? The vendor was perfectly happy with it. Who's right over here between the three of them? This was the case. How do you establish it? So Bayesdin turned round to the vendor and said to him, what was the story? Tell us more, the fuller story. He says, look, it all started off in a barbershop. A barbershop, yes. He says, I had a purchaser for my apartment, he says, and the purchase of my apartment was for 1.425. And, in fact, he'd given me a 20,000 deposit already. So that, the purchase. And then the purchaser found out that there were problems with the property. It wasn't the way it was. It wasn't legal. The vendor said, "But I could have solved it. But yes, I was desperate for the money, and I said to him, but I did not say to him, everything over 1.4 is yours." He said he could sell it for more, and I said, "Fine, if you can sell it for more, that's fantastic, and then I'll pay you an agency fee." Bayesdin turned around and said, did you pay him an agency fee? Silence. No agency fee was paid. The Bayesdin turned round to the purchaser and said, did you pay an agency fee? No. No one paid an agency fee. What's the story? So the question is, what's going on here? Why? So it sounds...
If they pay agency fees, there's obviously they can keep the money. The question was over here, would be more interesting if they... does pay agency fee as normally as on the contract plus the 50,000.
The fact that he didn't pay the, put it this way, if we want to sum up what's going on over here, the question is a number of questions. If the agent is honest, so why wasn't this thing sold for 1.45 on paper? Also, if the agent was honest, why didn't he tell the vendor? He could have told the purchaser that, listen, that's the deal over here, and therefore, if you'd like it, that's what I'm selling it for. So there's a question about the purchaser, there's a question about the agent. And 50,000 is quite a large fee for an agent, and therefore there's another question. On the other hand, no one's paid agency fees, so something's fishy over here. So try and get to the bottom of it. It wasn't possible to get to the bottom of it. The agent claimed that he had significant expenses in being able to clear this legally. When Bayesdin asked him tongue-in-cheek, can you produce a receipt for these fees... So the agent laughed with a knowing laugh, saying, obviously, some of these expenses were expenses that you can't produce a receipt for. So now, this is the question is, who does it belong to? Halachically, how do you sort it out? Who does it belong to? So the thing is like this, the question is, how do you view, in halacha, how do you view an agent? There are actually two sources in halacha to be able to help us with. I'm sorry, the Shulchan Aruch is... So there are two sources. On the one hand, there is in Siman Shin Samach Gimel, Sif Yud, it talks about somebody owns an apartment, and what happens is, here's the case, Reuven owns an apartment, Shimon owns an apartment, Reuven notices that Shimon is away, and he lets this apartment out to somebody else. And a long lady is sitting in this apartment paying rent to Reuven, but it's really Shimon's apartment. Now the question is, what happens as far as the rental income is concerned? If Reuven, who's let out Shimon's apartment without Shimon knowing about it, what happens if he's overcharging Levi? And what happens if he's undercharging Levi? Does he have the right to fix the price? So Shulchan Aruch says like this. Shulchan Aruch says, Kol aschar haroi litein loy. So what he has to do is the following. It says quite clearly, the money has to go to Shimon. And even if Levi has paid Reuven, nonetheless, all Levi can do is, he has to pay the money to Shimon. If he's paid Reuven already, he'll have to go and chase Reuven for the money. So if you ever rent an apartment, make sure that the one who you're paying the money to is genuinely the one who has the right to receive the money. So he has to, even if you've got a roaring deal, because Reuven wants to rent this apartment out quickly, but it was let for lower than the going price, you'd have to find out what the real rental is, and that Levi, whether he likes it or not, he will have to pay that to Shimon, and whatever he's paid Reuven already, that, again, he'll have to get back. But he can't say the arrangement with Reuven was for a lower rent. Now, v'imsochem Reuven b'dom yakorim, if Levi was taken for a ride by Reuven, so Reuven didn't just take Shimon for a ride, but he took Levi for a ride as well, until he got caught, v'nimtso, habayis shel Shimon, it transpires the house belongs to Shimon, lo yifalo el kafish marsh sochem acherim, Levi only pays the lower rent to Shimon. So we see from here the Reuven in between, Shimon's apartment, Levi is living in it because it's been rented out to him. What at the price that Reuven fixed with Levi is completely irrelevant. So Reuven is as if he didn't exist. The rental has to be paid by Levi to Reuven to Shimon, because it's Shimon's apartment. He's lived in Shimon's apartment. How much does he have to pay? The going rate. He'll have to work out what the going rate is, but whether it was more than Levi paid or less than Levi paid, it doesn't make a difference. Reuven has no influence upon this arrangement, even though Levi agreed to live in this apartment because Reuven had rented it out to him. That's one source in Shin Samach Gimel. On the other hand, there's a source in Simon Kuf Pei He, Simon Kuf Pei He, Sif Aleph. And this is really where Simon Kuf Pei He deals with Sirsur. Sirsur is an agent. It can be a shadchan as well. It's an agent of various types. Hasirsur, Shulchan Aruch says clearly, Shliachu, he is a shliach, Elo shenoitel schar shlichusoi. He's not the balabos. He's just a shliach. Lefikoch, says Shulchan Aruch, let's see what the ramifications of that are. Im shino das habaylim, what happens now if I send somebody to go and sell schoira for me, or to buy schoira for me, and he differs from what I told him. Mashi hifsid, so therefore, the imshino das bailim, meshalim mashi hifsid. So if I go and I buy something for a higher price than I was supposed to, or I sell it for a lower price than I was supposed to, I have to make up the difference. Ketzad, Reuven shnosen kreifes l'shimon hasirsur, he gave it to him, v'omar lein, he said to him, mechoi lizeh, sell this, v'al timko v'pochos mimea. Don't sell it for less than 100. For horach u'mochru b'chamishim, he went and he sold it for 50. So the din is, meshalim ha'chamishim ibeisoi. The mess has to pay the 50. Now what happens the other way around? Mochav b'mosayim, and this is the case we need. What's going to happen now if he went and he sold it for more than he was told? So he sold it for 1.45 instead of 1.4. Says Shulchan Aruch, ha'koy l'ruvein. He has to pass on the extra to Reuven. And the Sma explains, in fact, it's a Rambam and a Chuvas HaRosh, which maybe we'll see in a moment, but the Sma explains, and he says, look, there's the reason why the seller said to the agent, sell it, please, for, let's say in this case, 1.4, was because he thought that's all he could get for it. But, in other words, not if there's an arrangement that says that everything else you get. But let's say, I go to an agent, and I say to an agent, I think this house that I've got is worth 1.4. Please, could you sell it for me? It's the agent, certainly, if he sells it for more, and we'll see there's a certain duty to sell it for as much as he can, because I'm paying him. So in that case there, if he sells it for more, he's only a shliach. And therefore the extra that he gets, he has to pass on. That's the din. And this is actually a Rambam, and it's a Tshuvas HaRosh as well, who talks about a similar case. And let me just share this with you. So the Tor, the beginning of Siman Kuf Pehe, Kosav HaRambam. The Rambam wrote, Hasirsu Shliachu, an agent, is merely a messenger. In other words, he has no ownership. He gets paid for doing the job that he does on behalf of the Mashaleach. Lefikoch, if there's any difference, if he changes anything that he's been instructed, he's got to make up the difference. Ketzad, Nosan Lechefes Limkoi, and this is the case that we've seen, and the Omar Le Altim Kareib Pochs Mimea, Mocho Bechamishim, Meshalim, Hachamishim, Ibeisim, Mocho Bemasayim, Hakoil Meshalchu, that's a Rambam. Along comes the Tor, and he says, let me tell you a shaila that was asked to my father, the Rosh. Sheila Ladoni Ovi Horosh, Yelamdenu Rabbeinu, Ruuvein Nosan Chefetz Lesirsur, Ruuvein gave an item to an agent, Limkoi, to sell, but Arba for four, he sold it for six. Does he have to? Let's see what the Rosh said. Does he have to pay up the difference? What happens if an agent says, and this is another scenario which comes up, you want to sell it for four? Holocha four, he says straight away. Holocha arbo, take four, he says straight away. He says, you know what? You want to sell it for four? Here you are. I'll write you how to check on the spot. Here you have it for four, he says. In Yochel Ruvein Lachzoboy, at that point, can Ruvein say, hey, wait a minute, if the agent is so keen to do this, then I better get another valuation. Is he allowed to, or is it too late? We're talking about it's actually picked up, so it's an antique. You bring it in to an antique dealer, and you say, I think this is worth whatever you think it's worth. And he said, could you please sell it for me? And the idea is he should be paid. You have arranged with him that he gets paid as an agent to sell it. And he says to you, you know what? Take the money, leave it with me. In such a case, Shema adaita tohochi lo nosnolo. Maybe I didn't do this. I didn't want to come to him, this agent, to sell it to him. I just gave it to him in order to, that he should find the best buyer. Yes, the best buyer for me. Venira tohova hotalia, says the Rosh, I think that these two questions are interconnected. Veshuv motzasi, shekosav ha-rashbo, there's a rashbo about this as well, but Perakal Momenizo is all here in the Tor. He says, man som lecho, kloima, mi mochre lecho, who's allowed you to buy it, he said to the agents. Lefi shi shlucho, limko, because in that particular case, she was sent in order to sell it. Aval lididor, but to her, mi mochri lo, who sold it to her? Ubikan nira, says the Rosh, from here it would seem, she'ein shliach yochel liknos la'atzmoi. So you have these situations, and I'm told reliably by agents, although ein adam meisim atzmoi rosho, that this goes on all the time. What happens is you go and you present a property in Golders Green for £500,000, you'd like to sell it, you go to the agent, and the agent thinks about it, phones you up, he says, you know what, I've got a buyer for you. Who is it? It's his good friend. Right? Because the vendor has undervalued the property, and so what he does is, he gets his friend to buy it, and then he charges him agency fees on the top of it, and then they work it out between them. Apparently, I'm told, this goes on all the time. So definitely, to take the agency fees is definitely an avlo, because you can't be an agent and a vendor at the same time. That's the rule. If you're a buyer, you're not an agent. There's no way you can take agency fees. That's for sure impossible. But the Rosh says, proving from the Rashbo, that you're not even allowed to buy it. You don't have the ability. Why? What are the mechanics? Afilu boisna domim shiu sheyu abaylim. Even for the very money that the owners expected, wanted, no less than so and so much, or even if they say explicitly, that's how much I want, the agent cannot buy it. Why? Lemochre, lefisha nase shliach, he's become a shliach lehaknois, to sell on, hakarka lelekeach, to another buyer. Aval la'atzmei einu yochel lizkosei veliknos. Why? De ein odom makne la'atzmei. He has now become the yad of the moicher. He's become the extension of the vendor. He is the vendor. He is the vendor's representative. As such, he can't sell it to himself. The mechanics, they aren't there. De'ein ha-mecha, ela ho'itzoas ha-dovah m'rshus l'rshus. It's got to go from one domain to, you need a seller and you need a buyer. And this you haven't got. V'zeh lo yotzo m'rshusay, shubamok and bailum oimed, and that's all. And that's what he says. He answers, says the Rosh, Shuva yiroi li, shate sefesu shel Reuven, the extra two. He sold it for six, he has to give to Reuven. And shari lo hikno Reuven achefes lesilso, because Reuven was not makner it to the agent. Elo b'shlichusay mochrei, he sold it as his shliach lekoina to whoever was going to be the buyer. Umiyad, immediately, keshekibel hamois, when the agent received the money, zocho b'hem Reuven, immediately the agent, whether he likes it or not, is picked up this money and he is mezakir it, he is zoche in it for Reuven, ki ilu bo'u liyodo, as if it came to the hand of Reuven, ki b'shlichusay kiblom. And he goes on to say, so it's quite clear from this case, how do we reconcile the two cases in Shulchan Aruch? On the one hand, we find the Reuven is a nobody, in the case of Shin Samach Gimel, and whatever price he fixed makes no difference at all. It depends on the market price. Here, in this case over here with the Sosa, we find that he's also going to pass it on. So in a way, it works out to be the same logic, the same concept, that where somebody is a messenger, where somebody has been sent to do something on somebody else's behalf, whether they were sent or whether they weren't sent, the din is that they are the Yad HaRichter, the extension of the Moicher. And therefore, as a result, the case indeed was paskened, that the koina, the person who bought it, although he feels very aggrieved to have paid 1.45, when it transpires that the vendor was happy to sell it for 1.4, but it's too bad. It was presented to him for 1.45. The agent is a yad harichter, is a fair representative of the vendor. It's his job to get them as much as he can for him, and since that was the price that was agreed, that 1.45 goes back to the vendor. So that's the vendor's money, whether he likes it or not. Now there's the question only between the vendor and the agent. The agent says, look, this was agreed. That's what you said. The vendor and the agent has the money in his pocket. So now, it is upon the vendor to prove that no such arrangement was agreed, especially as there's been no agency fees paid at all. And the vendor also agreed that there were illegalities with the property, so there was a job to be done. And therefore, under the circumstances, the purchaser certainly has got no right to feel aggrieved about the 50,000, because if anything, it belongs to the vendor. And the vendor has no proof, certainly, he's got to prove that this property, the arrangement that was made between them, wasn't indeed as the agent said. And as a result, how are we doing for time? And as a result, the din is that they paskened in favour of the agent. That certainly, you couldn't be moitzi, you can't extract the money out of the agent's pocket without a proof. In other words, the onus of proof is upon the vendor to prove what did happen and what didn't happen. I must tell you, as I sat in this Din Torah, I suddenly thought to myself, ooh, is that what happened to me? I was involved in a purchase. When we lived in Eretz Yisrael, we bought an apartment. Very from-looking person came up to me and said to me, look, here's an apartment that needs to be sold, and the kablan is quite keen to sell it, but the arrangement that he has, he's a large kablan in Eretz Yisrael, and the arrangement that he's made is, the arrangement he told me is, that the price for this apartment is $140,000. So I'm on a good titan, yes? $140,000 is apartment, but, he says, he insists that only 135,000 goes on the contract. The other 5,000, he says, the only way to prepare to sell this is if he does this arrangement. But if you speak to him, phone him up and speak to him about it, there's no way that he's going to agree to sell this apartment. because, he says, there's no way he's going to ever agree to sell this apartment because, he says, he's a very large kaplan. He cannot possibly have it said about him that he has received Schwarzgeld. That's what he said. That's what he mentioned to me. So I didn't want to touch this thing with a barge pole. It was actually, the deal was actually a good deal, even at 140. But was clearly what was going on over here was, it was nothing to do with the Kablan. The Kablan was going to receive 135 and be oblivious to what was going on. This wicked agent, he wanted to pocket the $5,000. He was doing just this, exactly this scenario. So he said, absolutely. I sat there, I thought to myself, ooh, is this what he was trying to do to me? So, just an idea, to get an idea, first of all, as far as the ethics are concerned over here, the agents over here, certainly, the way this was done, as far as the agents are concerned, it was certainly, this is certainly not scrupulous business behaviour. But, as far as the din is concerned, how we paskin over here, the agent is merely, and this is a din, very important to learn this, you cannot, as an agent, you cannot buy it yourself, right, unless you resign from being an agent and say, right, I won't be your agent, but I'm prepared, instead of being an agent, I'm prepared to offer you this for it, take it or leave it. And if you prefer not to sell it to me for this, or you want me to be your agent and to go and buy and to see if I can find somebody who will buy it for more, so then, certainly, you can opt for that. But you've got to be, you cannot just pocket it, even if you don't take the agency fees. Let's say you're honest about it, you don't take the agency fees, but you cannot do that without explicitly resigning as a shliach and then buying it in the normal way as a transparent and clear purchaser. Here you have some of the ethics of it, and in fact in Shulchanov Paskins explicitly in Kuf Pei Hei, Ein shliach yochol liknos la'atzmei. You cannot buy it for yourself. You cannot just present the money. It's stealing. To present the money that the purchaser, the vendor wants for whatever item it is, you cannot just say, yes, you know, good news, somebody came to buy it, and not tell him who that somebody is. You have to, if you yourself are going to buy it, you have to make that clear and resign from being an agent and give him the option of giving it to another agent and trying to sell it via somebody else. Hopefully this gives some type of an idea as to what's going on. I think we've really run out of time. Let's stop over here. Maybe for another time I'll tell you some more stories about agencies, but in principle that one should always realise in many cases one needs to ask a shaila to make sure that what one's doing is honest and open and above board in every way, because some serious shilas of Gezel that are easy to fall into.